Welcome back to Consuming the Craft Podcast. This is Puff. With me today is a very special guest from a very special company. And, well, truth be told, we've been talking for a little while, so.
Yeah.
You're
kind of setting me up for failure.
No, I wouldn't say failure, but we've talked about a ton of stuff beforehand. I just want to make sure I cover it all.
Well, you got me all, you know, you made me taste a bunch of things, and so now, to relax me?
Well, no, I do it for the kids. It's for the children, and you've met some of the children back there, so you can see that why I drink.
Yes, totally.
It's sensory analysis.
Absolutely.
So precision fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
You are one of the founders of the company.
Yes, I am.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
So I got a degree in psychology of politics, psychology of religion. So I really didn't want to be anything. this is what happens when you have professors and you know academics as parents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of navel gazing.
Yeah, I got you.
A lot of navel gazing.
So you've been involved with a ton of companies, and you found yourself in precision fermentation.
Yeah.
This was a few years ago. You were one of the founders of the company. What do you do? Tell the folks what you do.
What do I do, or what does the company do?
You have this sleek, sexy-looking box setting on top of my bar here.
Mm-hmm.
And truth be told, I mean, we for a long time, maybe Tech used your stuff, and then my budget got cut, decimated,
mm-hmm.
destroyed.
We're going to fix that. We're going to take care of you guys.
And I can't thank you enough for even offering it, because I know how it was just amazing to be able to produce... What the box does.
Yes.
In real time, you're going to get a ton of data from an active fermentation.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at fermentation. Fermentation has been around for 7,500 years, and how much has really changed? Mostly, we rely on these manual samples. And so, what we know is that when you are fermenting something, we know that you have big gaps in data. And you're reliant on that last data point. That last data point is the most important data point until you have the next data point.
It is. And usually it's taken manually.
Exactly.
And so by someone working a shift, working mm-hmm. whether it's first, second, or third, or you're just working those 5 days a week, you get that data point and you're making decisions upon the product that's in that tank in real time. But
you're also missing a lot of the data. And what you're not seeing is, well, is it off track or is it on track? And you don't know whether it's off track or on track until you get that next data point.
And everyone out there that's in the fermentation industry knows the pinch point in all of your facilities is the fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time it sits in your tank the longest.
Yep.
So to predict the end of fermentation, really in real time,
mm-hmm.
because of the way the box works, because of the way the sensors work, and because the data is coming to you streaming
mm-hmm.
Through the interwebs, which is that series of pipes underground.
Yes.
You can actually predict the fermentation
know exactly what's happening when it's happening. I mean, we all know that it's a giant black box. It's not, I mean, it looks like a tank, but it's a black box, and you don't see inside of it.
No, do you want to get inside of it.
No. You might not get out.
No,
But what ends up happening is we are always in a reactive position, not in a proactive position. So when you find out what's going on inside of your fermentation, you are not in a position to do anything proactive. And so as a result, you're throwing the kitchen sink at it. Or you're holding it back. Nobody likes to talk about blending. Nobody likes to talk about...
That's the dirty secret of the industry. Let's be honest.
Yeah. And nobody, look, what's the problem with blending? Well, you're holding a tank, you're making a new beer, and then you're going to blend it. So what are you doing? There's no optimization whatsoever. So what our system does is it actually eliminates any bad batches.
I mean, unless there's contamination, but that's not on you.
That's not on us. Our system is a sealed, closed system. So.
Yeah, so that's on, you know, CIP, SIP mm-hmm. system. That's on the brewer.
But you're going to know if there's something going on, because one of the things that our system does is it benchmarks.
That's we have
that's a technical term.
No, that's they're not going to understand that. It puts a fingerprint on each batch.
There you go.
So if you have a pale ale, it's going to tell you, and it monitors in real time. And I wanted to make sure I looked it up. Dissolved oxygen.
Yes.
So you're going to see the dissolved oxygen go down very, very quickly as the fermentation begins. pH the entire time. So if there's a spike, there's something, you know, you may be able to save a batch at this point. If you're seeing some sort of contamination, you may be able to crash it. You may be able to do some things at that
Absolutely.
Point. Monitoring gravity the whole time. You can be able to predict the end of this fermentation by gravity and pH, and then you'll be able to stop and spund and use the natural carbonation to it's going to save you carbon dioxide as well. I mean, there's going to be ancillary things that's going to happen. Fluid temperature on the inside. Everyone out there that's listening has had a glycol failure.
Yep.
And if anybody hasn't sworn just then, go ahead now. All right. After that swear, you know how detrimental that is to your product.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the temperature starts to spike and your ester flavor goes off and you can maybe sell it as a one-off, or maybe you can get there and fix it in time to make sure that that batch doesn't get taken care away. It also gives you ambient temperatures. For those of you that are in places that the temperature influxes, I mean, it was 70 degrees here yesterday. It was 30 when I woke up this morning.
Absolutely.
That is Mother Nature just giving us the middle finger. That's all she was doing.
Multiple times.
It's going to give us all the stuff in real time. It's going to send it to, like I said, the internet. So you're going to be able to get it and be able to set parameters on your phone.
Yes, not only that, we've actually got, this fall, we'll have an app as well.
An app?
An app.
You guys are so nerdy. It's amazing.
But it's kind of cool at the same time.
This is my wheelhouse. Come on. I'm as nerdy as it's good. Don't let these rugged good looks fool you, folks. Behind this,
you guys can't
delicious,
see anything.
Delicious exterior is the heart of a nerd. the box has changed a lot.
Yes.
This is the 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what happens is you plug this module into the tank through a inch and a half tri-clamp port.
Mm-hmm.
What it's going to do is it's going to pump the solution. The fermentation's happening in real time. It's pumping the solution through the box, through the sensors, giving you that data. A lot of points of data, very, very quickly. And you can set those parameters. If pH gets out of whack, the temperature gets out of whack. You can tell a limit for the gravity at that point. So you can spund, shut the tank down. So there's enough residual sugar left over so that the beer can actually naturally carbonate some of itself. So you're not having to polish carbonate and add so much CO2 later down in the bright tank or some of the finishing. This works for wine. This works for beer. This works for sake. Cider, any of your mashes, for those of you that are in distillation. If you've got a fermentation, this really will work.
Yep. And what's really cool also now is that we've got an alert system. So if you set your benchmarks and you don't want to go in, you just want to know that it's okay. You can just pick up your phone and look at things, but then also you can leave your phone on the kitchen table and then get an alert if there is a problem.
Because everyone has been home on a Saturday. They started a batch on Friday and they get that rumbling in their tummy and they were like, man, I should just go in and check on it.
Yep.
You don't have to leave your house. You don't even have to put pants on at that point.
Most of the time. Sometimes you do, because if people show up and you're not wearing pants, it's a problem.
Well, at your house. I mean, they should just know by now, right?
I guess so. I mean, your dog will bark.
Then you can quickly put pants on. Now, this module has been adapted and changed, and it is available now for anybody, right? How do they get it?
They go to precisionfermentation.com, and there's a quick link there where you can find out about it. You can also email us through that, and we have a fantastic team that responds immediately.
Fantastic team. And Daniel, we want to make sure that that's separated.
Yeah, there is Daniel,
between...
but I wasn't going to mention Daniel because
it's the D word, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So a really amazing team, and then
Daniel.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But we love him, and his wife pays us a lot of money, and that's one of the reasons we're so well funded.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
What an angel she is.
That's why she's an angel investor.
Well, and clearly she can't see, or she has no sense of smell because, well, Daniel. But other than that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's so cuddly. He's so cuddly.
He's a big, dumb animal, folks. No, he's angrily listening to it right now, I imagine. But this, we've got a break here because you come from a wine background.
Mm-hmm.
And truth be told, we were drinking something before this started.
A lot.
Everything in moderation, kids. Sometimes in moderation. But I did pour you something, and it was, I wouldn't say something outside of the box, but something you probably haven't drank in a while, I would assume. And you guessed it right away. You nailed it.
Yeah.
So it was a Calvados.
Yep.
It was from northern France in the Normandy region. It's coming from very select apples.
Yep.
This is an entry-level Calvados that actually I tasted out in class this morning, and I just, I figured I wanted to see if it had changed since I opened the bottle.
Calvados will blow off. I mean, it'll open up. You have that high octane right off of the, right at the
beginning. Some of that acetyl acetate, some of that nail polish remover. And really, honestly, you should decant it.
Yep.
It should go in a decanter, or you should pour a glass and let it sit. But let's hear it. Cheers.
Yeah.
Let's just give it a little sniffy poo. What are you getting the smell and this flavor?
Well, I mean, the apples obviously are right there.
Yep.
You know, you got a little bit of terroir. I mean, you got that kind of, you know, you got that manure thing in the background.
There's a farmhouse smell.
Yep. And then you
like
got
a barnyard kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get almost like a blue cheese kind of smell, too.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely get that. What's nice is it's actually changed since you poured it into the glass.
Yep.
It's a terrible job we do.
Yeah, I know. It's really clean, which I really like. And we were talking about linearity. It's linear. It's not kind of going too far left, too far right.
It's the road from Tucson to Phoenix.
It's what it should be. Like, when you smell it, it should align with what your palate experiences.
It's dry. It's cleansing. You get some apple. I get a little honeysuckle. Just
there's
a little bit of
citrus.
Vanilla.
There's also a little bit of citrus in there. Yeah.
But it's not... It's not like this tree that you're going out on limbs finding and discovering. It's a very user friendly. It's a very smooth ride in a car.
Absolutely, I would drink this all day with you.
Challenge accepted.
Okay,
we're gonna have to get more after I've seen how fast you drink.
We'll make Mike
first 14 samples. so now people can get this in. I know that you guys are never done tinkering, never done experimenting, never done talking about how we can make an improvement. And this is very, very different than the models, you know, you even started with. That giant suitcase that you had in the past. It's
680 parts that we wheeled into the first brewery.
Yeah. And it's shrunk so much. And it's, you know, it basically inch and a half tri-clamp. You plug this thing in. It shoots stuff up to the interwebs. It's simple.
And what you'll also... we haven't even told you about this one. The 2.0 is actually being powered, can be powered over Ethernet.
So, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys are wizards. You're not.
Well, I'm not. But everybody around me, yes.
The people who you sound, they're wizards.
There are a lot of really smart people. The only thing I get credit for is actually bringing some of them in.
It's all about making those relationships, man.
Right, absolutely.
That's how Daddy gets paid. That being said, you have alluded to something, new technologies that you've been experimenting with, trying to make this more efficient, more user-friendly.
Yeah, so our goal is always to make it better, faster, smarter, less expensive.
Like steroid Olympics.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we're going into this.
No, that's not exactly.
Oh my gosh, there's so many things I could say right now, but I'm not going to.
It's a podcast.
Yeah,
you
so
can swear
so
if
we
you
can.
Like.
I can say anything I want, right? No, it's we have some new tech that will be coming out probably fourth quarter of this year. It's gonna continue to take what we've built and push the. Push the boundaries of the way people think about monitoring and sampling. And it's very exciting. We brought somebody on who has an incredible background in engineering, who's worked with some of the largest companies in the world. And he has got us thinking in a new way last year. And his impact is already being felt. And we're very excited.
So something very, very new on the horizon. Very exciting.
Yes. Everybody's going to, as if people don't already want everything we're doing,
I don't think people understand the data points that you're getting from this box. They don't understand, like,
We're not replacing a dishwasher, and so that's what it's hard. Mm-hmm. Like if you're replacing something, if you're replacing a screen or you're replacing a desk, you can say this desk is better for this reason. But we're actually walking in and saying, hey, what you're doing is fine, but now what I want you to do is do this. It's kind of like walking into Ford and say, hey, I know you guys think you know how to build cars. I mean, it's hard because a lot of, you know, brewers, I mean, they really know what they're doing, but this is the future. Data is the future.
This is a tool mm-hmm. that they can do to maximize the throughput mm-hmm. on existing equipment.
Reproducibility, efficiency. I mean, we're now doing API integrations into cooling jackets. So we actually have a customer that found out that their cooling jacket wasn't working and they were able to get to it before there was a problem.
See, to me, those headaches that will be alleviated because of this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, people know how to brew, but if you don't have to purchase another fermenter because you're maximizing the space that you have, mm-hmm. what's the cost savings there?
It's massive. I mean, in the beginning, there was a rather large brewery that I looked at the number of tanks they had, and they were looking to build a whole nother brewery. And I calculated out if you could increase the tank efficiency, you wouldn't have to do that for years. They didn't want to hear that.
No, I mean, the new brewery is sexy.
Yeah, exactly.
But the outlay of cash isn't.
No, but nowadays, post-COVID, post all of this, everybody's looking at ways to improve production. And, you know, efficiency is everything. Everything.
And quality control is everything.
Quality control.
So in the way I explain it to students is like you're working with an agricultural-based product. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's apples, grain, mm-hmm. Grapes. That's going to change from growing season to growing
Absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely.
So even as the new malted barley is coming into your facility, the way that the fingerprint that you put on your pale ale is going to have to be adjusted with this new pallet or silo of grain.
Absolutely.
And so now you're getting the data in real time to be able to make those micro adjustments to make sure that the product flavor is going to be consistent from batch to batch to batch, from growing season to growing season.
You know, there was pushback in the beginning saying, you know, well, you're taking away some of the creativity. And what I turned around and said was, actually, we're giving you more creativity. We're giving you the guardrails so that you can push the envelope. You can do more.
You have a pencil. Now you have colored pencils to draw with. You're
exactly.
making a better picture.
Yep, absolutely.
Because you have more data to understand how you're going
why
to be
able to
do it.
Why would you not want more data? Not only that, but why wouldn't you want that? Unsilo that data.
Yeah.
Let
well,
everybody look at it.
The other thing, too, is like effectively using that data to make real-time decisions on the product.
Absolutely.
Makes so much more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you can look at the throughput. You can understand what's happening with this new batch of grain, with these new grapes. I mean, if you're trying to make a cab,
mm-hmm.
which we should drink a cab after this.
Okay.
Okay. I twist your arm. But that being said,
if you got a Gamay, I'm a little more partial to a Gamay, but I'll go that direction.
See
with you.
What I can find. That being said, if we can look at the last year's harvest and the data, uh-huh. and you know the pH, the bricks, I mean all of the data that you have from those grapes, wouldn't you want to use that data and then compare it to the data of the grapes coming out this year to have some predictability for this vintage and
so,
understand pitching rates and understanding some of that stuff?
One of the wineries that we're working with who has a very, very large name, and they have a global
reach, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. They're one of the big names, and they, I sat in a meeting with 15 people on the team, and the discussion was, the pushback was, why do we need all this data? And the head data scientist said, because we don't know. We've never seen this much data.
We've never known.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
Why would we not want this?
Yeah.
We know what our product has been, but what about if we can start thinking about what our product is going to be?
Predictability. After maturation.
Absolutely.
So you know how blending is going to happen. You know you're going to need this. Look, if your wine isn't acidic after it's coming out, then you're going to have to blend something with a little bit more acidity. You can foster that in the fermentation side of things before you even have to worry about the blending.
Puff, when you're done making your wine, what do? You set it in cask, right?
Yeah.
And so you've got to sample those. Imagine if you had one of these on every single cask.
And you just got the data?
And it was just running. So, because ultimately, you just need to know if there's a change. I don't care if it's a change in pH, a change. You just need to see that it's stable.
Yeah.
And now you're not wasting time moving these giant racks of casks up and down all over.
And opening them up.
Exactly.
And all the labor that goes with it.
Yes.
And then casks are heavy.
Yes.
There's certainly not only the labor, but there's an element of danger, mm-hmm. which is actually my middle name. It's not safe. Casks are heavy. They're unruly at times.
Yeah, and it's labor. It's just it's a ton
cost.
Of
cost.
It is.
If you can tell me in the warehouse that barrel, the pH has been stable. Is that wine ready to bottle?
We could be sitting on your front porch, with not wearing pants, drinking Calvados.
Okay,
and looking at all the casks, and we would know what's going on with all of them.
And we could pay our serfs to bring them to us.
Yes. No,
Cask
Daniel,
42.
Daniel.
Oh, he can't read. Cask 42.
But Mike could read him for it.
Oh, okay. Well, he is a chaperone. Isn't that what his... Mike's in the room. he's been thrown under the bus quite a bit today.
Yeah.
And noted that it should happen.
Yes.
So new technology coming out. Mm-hmm. Existing technology that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Tons of data. Mm-hmm. You can take and analyze that data, make your product more consistent, quality control better, save labor,
mm-hmm.
save costs.
Yep.
Increase productivity through the
roof.
And profitability.
Absolutely. So bottom line profit.
Why doesn't everybody have one of these?
Again, when you are walking into a room and you're not saying to somebody, I'm going to replace that and make you more better.
Oh, I love that term.
Yeah. It's almost like Bigly.
Yeah.
People can't quantify it. And so there's this trust. What we know is that if you use our system for three runs on the same product, you're hooked.
Yeah.
We have people that have run 600 fermentations. We have thousands of fermentations run.
A ton of data, yeah.
We have the largest fermentation data bank in the world. Nobody knows it.
Well, you just told them.
Oh.
The four people that are listening,
right.
And Daniel.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Oops. No, but I think that, you know, your question is a good one. And that is that we have an industry that is built around a known quantity,
yep.
and a known practice. And
there is some tradition.
And disruption is not easy.
Well, it's scary.
Yeah. And people, what I will also say is we are not a revolution, because a revolution is forcing people to come along with it.
Sure.
We are an evolution.
Yeah.
Our product is the evolution of fermentation. It's just taking people a little while to understand. But the ones that do...
Well, they're shouting it from the mountaintop.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely
expanding.
An advocate. Yeah, well, and the expansion thing, that's the key, because their product is more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
People are enjoying it. They're putting that fingerprint on their individual brands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's selling more, which in turn, what's you can't put a price on that.
No.
Because the ones that are growing. The other ones are dying.
Yeah.
And with 10,000 craft beer producers and I don't know how many craft distillers now, small wineries to big wineries. I mean,
so having a background in the restaurant business, we would buy, there were certain craft brewers that would... We would buy three cylinders knowing that two of them would be okay, but we loved the product so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd end up sending back. So who's eating that? Is a distributor eating that?
That's a great question, yeah.
And this is a really tough thing. It's a tough thing for the... We're not even talking about the consumer at this point.
Yep.
We're talking about the person that is actually trying to get your product in the hands of the consumer, and they're having to work around systems. So look, how many times... Anybody out there who's listening, who owns a bar, how many times have you gone to order that product and it's not there?
Inventory control, yeah.
And how frustrating, especially when we get into festival season.
Well, or seasonality releases, like...
Absolutely.
You know, when you're trying to predict how much you need to make of X product for this seasonal specialty.
What if I can tell you that that's going to be done on the seventh day? And now
amazing.
You can start to plan everything down the line. The other thing that we have to remember is, how do we know when our product is done? We test it.
Yep.
And then what we do is we wait 24 hours. and then we test it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So a 7-day fermentation is really a 6-day fermentation with 2 tests.
Yep.
What if you could be done on that day and not have to do it anymore?
Right. You can predict the exact time that that fermentation is over. Then you can get it moved out of the tank and you can fill it up again.
Tank optimization, that's everything.
Well, and that's how you get paid.
I think the Calvados is starting to kick in.
No, it's optimization. Well, Jared, I can't thank you enough for being here.
Yes. This is great.
No, stop by anytime.
I will
make sure I have a better Calvados next time.
I'll bring something.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back here, you'd see all the booze.
You're just trying to get me to look under the table.
100%. Did it work?
No.
Well, here, have some more Calvados. No. I can't thank you once again enough for being here. Thanks to Precision Fermentation. And thank you to Danny McConnell for McConnell Farms for sponsoring the podcast. Taste the way we remember. Thank you, Danny, for all you've done for the Craft Beverage Institute of the Southeast and the students here. Thank you once again to Precision Fermentation. How do they find you?
Go to our website, www.
Oh, 3 W's.
Yeah,
you guys
3.
Are innovative.
Yeah, we paid for the extra one. Precisionfermentation.com.
Oh, I bet that was Daniel's decision. Hey, I can't thank you enough. I appreciate you being here. Thanks, everybody. And listen, learn, and laugh with Consuming the Craft.